Hey, this is your friendly neighborhood Ty Murdaugh, and this is Ty Ann, short form interviews with up and coming creatives, influencers, business people, and entrepreneurs. We speak on their life's journeys, their ups and downs, successes and failures, and how their backgrounds have informed their paths. Some people are a product of their environment. Others learn another way to navigate through life. Neither are the wrong paths, but can be the wrong path for the wrong person. Today, I speak with Chris Pirate, a DC native who has used his environment to take a much different path. Using his eclectic taste and Southeast upbringing, pinched with some Miami flavoring, to give the art scene something they've never seen before. Or maybe you have and just don't know it. Or maybe you just don't know who's the man behind the cherry blossom murals. Well, wait no more, because here's my guest, the man himself, Chris Pirate. All right, everybody, welcome back. Before we even begin, who am I speaking with? What do you do? And where are we at right now?
Speaking of Chris Pirate, millionaire, billionaire artist. I'm just a dude who paint, do installations from DC, from Southeast originally, and made some moves in other places. Now I'm back and we right here in one of my bigger art shows since I've moved back home. So like this is Mahari Sakar Gallery. The homie, he runs a good gallery here that's creating a lot of like space for local. Right. And yeah, it got hit with the COVID. So I'm glad that things like this, I can keep showing people the space.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I didn't know that you were from, you're from Southeast. From what part? I'm actually from Oxnard, Southeast area. I went to Ballou.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm right over by Eastover on Southern Ave.
Wow.
Exactly. Greater Southeast Hospital.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All that. You feel me?
Almost died there twice. Yeah, it's awesome.
I feel you. I probably almost died when I was born just because it's Greater Southeast.
Oh, so you were born in Greater Southeast?
Yeah,
Hospital.
I was born in
Yeah, my little sister was too.
So you know that whole thing about, you know, it
being
was
right
great.
Being right next to a prison? Yeah.
It's
all good.
A lot of people, too, like, I think now that I'm back, they know the art. They've known, a lot of people have known the journey, but people keep getting surprised when they find out that part. It's like, you're from the worst part.
Yeah.
And you like in a lot of the best situations right now. You know what I mean?
And this is a segue right into that actually, because since you are from Southeast, and you, I don't know if you were, because I was born in the 80s, grew up here in the 90s.
Okay.
Tell everybody who don't know, how was Southeast when you were growing up?
Oh,
it's different. It's way different.
For sure. Well, you know, where I'm from, still the same.
Okay.
When I go over there to, you know, pick up friends and bring them to shows and, you know, I just started going back, you know, just because I miss it, right? But you know how it is with PG, Eastover has its own cops.
Yep.
DC cops. So you have like, and then Forest Heights cops. There's maybe four different cops, like that all are on one jurisdiction.
Yep.
And they're all allowed to cross the lines. So like, actually, at one point when I was a kid, I think they weren't. So people committing crimes literally across the street and going back into one jurisdiction. You know, it's wild because it's literally on the border of probably definitely the worst part of D.C. and the worst part of Maryland.
Yep.
Yeah, so
right there in Oxon Hill. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I graduated from Oxon Hill, so I hopped the line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you already know. So
Cavalier, okay.
You know, bro. So, but that's just one of the many schools I went to. You know, I was hopping schools. I'll say this. It definitely wasn't a space for art. Like, not for natives. I think maybe, like, politics. Politicians, there was an art scene probably, right?
Because
there's a lot of rich politicians there. But we had no connection to it. When I was growing up, like, I was always an artist, but it wasn't something I was proud of because of where I'm from. It didn't get you any, like,
anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Anywhere. In fact, it might get you robbed. You know what I mean? Because you're
True.
Weird. Like, or because you're different. So, like, And I used to skate early before skating was acceptable. So, like, the cool thing about it, a skateboard is also a weapon. And it's already in your hand. It's already in your hand. So, like, I used to walk down Southern Avenue from the station, right? Mm-hmm. And I would swing my skateboard the whole time, just already in motion, man, in case anything happens. So, like, or in case I just had to hop on it. Either way, right? But, you know, it... In fact, me and Reef were just talking about this yesterday. Like, there's a lot of bad things you can say about it, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. That's why my observation is the hood is good because it doesn't tell lies.
True.
Right? So it may be a lot of harsh truth or harsh, like, ways people express things, but it's all out of necessity. So, like, if people make fun of you, it's probably something that if you brush it up, you'll be better in life, better off in life, right?
Yep.
If they point at something, it's probably something that... you know, might get you, you know, if you fix it, you might get further. Now, they're more harsh about it. The rest of the world might just look at you funny and not say anything and blackball you. But the hood is, it's all about survival. So all the licks, you know, they may be harsh, a little too harsh sometimes, but they all come with a purpose. So I think that really helped me. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm out here and, like, I still live with that, not paranoia, I want to say.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, I definitely got PTSD from that shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you, like, walk into a room... you're going to look for the exits and everything. When someone comes in, you're like...
I'm definitely like that. And I usually probably, like, sit where I can see.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But I don't look for the exits. I probably pass that, right? Because that's the one I didn't relate to. I'm like, okay, I'm a little comfortable. But more than anything, reading people and reading the room. Like, it's weird because now... I'm not going to say I'm the center of attention. I think I avoid that well. But people want me to be. Like, it's easy. I could have it if I want it because a lot of people know my work. And you know what I mean? But basically, even I still find a way to blend in and be the quieter person in the room just so I can figure everybody out. You know what I mean?
See, you understand that. Actually, Bobby, we were on our way over here to do this interview. He was saying that I'm awkwardly silent when I'm not in a place where I know people. Mm-hmm. And we do the same exact thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to read the room first to see what kind of situation you're in.
Yeah, 100%.
And if it's something that you don't vibe with, you can just be, all right, I'm stay here for a little while, be seen, I'm out.
You already know. And I think me and Reef were talking about that. I think that, like, being from the hood and being from, like, a hood where you really had to pay attention all the time.
Yes.
Right? It translates. I've been in places where I learned to loosen up. I lived in Miami. I've lived in New York, you know, different places. Even before I graduated, I lived in L.A., New Mexico when I was a kid for a little while. So I got to see a lot early.
Yeah.
But I always came back to that area.
Okay.
Never more than probably 5 miles away at most, right?
Yeah.
So the furthest I lived was probably Deanwood and then Fort Washington for a year. You know what I mean? You know, I ain't really getting away. Hey. Neither one of those, right? So, like, before Washington, I thought I was in a real neighborhood. Like, oh, this is suburbs. But, you know.
It's still a hood.
So I just think it's funny. We were just talking about this. I think if you're able to make it out and make it in other spaces, you're going to be so well equipped compared to the average person who grew up just, like, with that privilege. Because they're missing a lot of that.
Yep.
It makes you like a Jedi, bro. You know what I mean?
I like that.
You have to make it out. That's what's rare about it. A lot of people, they don't make it out.
No.
But if you are, you're going to be like, I told Reeve, I think in a couple years, maybe 10 years, a lot of the Forbes list, we're already seeing it. It's going to be a lot of young people, young hood dudes. You see, dude with all the tattoos on the face just hit Forbes or something like that. So, like, a lot of just regular dudes, hood dudes, because those dudes are getting those opportunities thanks to Instagram and the internet.
That's a big one.
And they're going to max out better than the average person who was just born into it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Man, those are jewels.
Well, we were just talking about it.
Those are jewels.
We were just talking about it last night, so I'm happy to get that. I'm happy to get it on wax, too, so I can re-listen to it.
So being from Oxnard, everything like that, what made you get into art? Like, was there always something here? Because I know my gateway into doing anything, my aunt got me a stack of comic books, and Amazing Fantasy number 15 was in there. First appearance of Spider-Man, boom, I'm hooked. I'm a nerd, got me off the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
I it saved my life. Yeah, like, yeah, what happened? What was that moment for you, like, when you fell in love with art?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Hey, yeah, okay.
Sega Genesis. I like packaging art and stuff like that. So, like, what happened was, I think I got into the game, and then I found out there was comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And then from comic books, you learn about other books in the back of it. I always like the back. Even when you buy a toy, on the back, it shows all the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, something about that packaging art and just like the expression of like, yo, there's more to this world, right? So like, a Sonic the Hedgehog, I think I drew that when I was like 4 or 5, and my mom started putting it on the fridge, and like, my big cousin, he was into it too, a year older than me, and was going to the same schools at the same time, and so he was drawing, and so we started doing that, but he was in the comics too.
Okay.
I had more like Sonic comics and Star Wars, very specific, right? Yes. But he had all the Marvel and stuff. So what we, our first project we did, mm-hmm. right, was a comic book, right? Where I didn't like drawing people because I had the Sonic and these weird alien Star Wars and stuff like that, right? And he had all the Marvel and like Ghost Rider and stuff like that. So we did a book where like, I think the people turned into animals. So mm-hmm. he drew all the people and I drew all the animals.
Oh, right? Okay. On some animal.
And we laminated that drink with the little big ass. Can I curse?
Yeah.
The big ass. Well, first of all, I'm trying to stop cursing, so I'm just letting people know I don't condone cursing, but I curse. but it's like a big black, those big black ring things. You know what I mean? The binder.
Yeah.
Big whack, but like the Trapper to Keeper us, but to us, that drink looked official. You know what I mean? So that's. That's probably the first time, but the first thing that probably opened my mind though, when I lived with my mom and my dad very early on, right? Mm-hmm. My dad, like, he liked Star Wars. So like, those are like some of my favorite memories because it was my first time, like, you know, father-son relationship different, you know what I mean? So like, and I didn't have it my whole life, but I had it at that moment. So like, he was into Star Wars and I think Star Trek, stuff like that. And like, but he is a flashy black dude. So it was, you know, I'm looking up to him in both ways. So I ain't thinking it's nerdy, nothing. I'm just watching it with him. I remember Darth Vader like choking homie from across the table.
Yes.
And I'm looking at home, my dad like, what is this? You know what I mean? like amazed. And so he kind of encouraged me to get into that stuff. So then when my cousin introduced me to comics, I found a Star Wars comic.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I actually worked in comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in New York, I was working in comics. My first job was a kid's book. I was in art school, and I got hired for a kid's book. Because I was in school, again, not too far, like in Roslyn, right?
Oh,
yeah. So wow. We keep it in the radius, bro. basically, I got hired for a kid's book while I was at school, actually an Ethiopian kid's book, right? And, mm-hmm. And I quit school because I thought like, shit, I'm already doing a job. You feel me? And long story short, the place I was graphic designer for clothes and all these things, up against the wall.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the artwork for them and stuff. So up against the wall clothes. And I got a nice settlement because they liked me and all this weird stuff. And then like my cousin in New York, same cousin. Now he's in New York and he's like, yo, you got it. Like, you're not gonna find another situation like that in DC. You gotta come out here. So he's personal training with like Nick Cannon and Adriana Lima, I wanna say her name, right? Victoria's Secret joint. And he would have me in that gym and I just show, like, I make a t-shirt, he's showing on them. It ain't gold anywhere, but it got my confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so out there, I end up from a lot of kids' book stuff. There was an Ethiopian kids' book, right? And then it went to, like, more illustration-based, and then I found my way in comics because I liked that more, and then that took me to storyboarding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So storyboarding. So for those that don't know, what is storyboarding?
Yeah, that's wild, right? But a lot of people, if you look at it, it looks like a comic book.
Yes.
But it's black and white. But it's basically, before, you usually, a lot of filmmakers and directors use it to kind of visualize the beat points of a story.
Yes.
Right? And like, so that's one of the things about drawing comics that has you so sharp is that when you draw a comic book, you have to be the artist, you have to be the actor,
yep,
and the director, because you're directing the camera angle, every, when people talking, you gotta pick the angle.
Yes.
It might be over one shoulder, but you gotta draw it too. The expressions have to be real, so you gotta act. You know what I mean? And so it teaches you all that. And then when you storyboard, it's a little more simple, right? But you're still catching all the angles because you probably get an exact angle that part of the film is gonna be the main part of that. You know, even though it's only 1 second in the film, it's the main one that they anchor that whole part for.
Yeah.
So a whole movie that's, I don't know, an hour and a half long, maybe only like 100, you know, blocks of a storyboard. It can be like very short in a storyboard because you just capturing main beats.
Yeah, like the main story beats. Yeah. And that's amazing, man. Yeah. So you go out from right here in DC, mm-hmm. New York. Where did you go to next? Like, what was that next moment that's like, all right, this is what's gonna bring me to where I am now?
Miami. Yeah, so I think, I forget why, I was just going out there to fish, actually, because I like to fish.
See the Bass Pro Shop?
Yeah, exactly, man. Thank you. We gotta put that on wax, because this starting to become trendy, and I know where they got it from, you heard? Because I wear a different one every day. My collection's probably 30, 40 deep.
Whoa.
All different types, man. So, like, now that when you see that trend, just know, man, I'm about to come out with my own Bass Pro hat. Personal, I'm making it myself, though, yeah. Right? But
some people collect J's.
There you go.
Chris got Bass Pro Shop hat.
But you're going to see the people collecting J's are now wearing Bass Pro hats.
They are.
It's killing me, bro. I'm glad you noticed. But yeah, I fish, so like, and I really do it, you know what I mean? So Miami has a very specific fishing situation because it's tropical.
Mm-hmm.
And people release their pets. So you can catch stuff from Brazil, all this stuff just beside Walmart in a little canal. Yeah, so like,
it's crazy.
People pay $4,000 to catch some of the fish. Like, for $4,000 for a 2-day trip in the Amazon, catch some shit, I can catch it behind Walmart.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's what got me out there. And then I kind of fell in love with it because I had gone to Costa Rica after this book deal I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, once I went to Costa Rica, I'm like, yo, I got to live. I want to go back to America, but I want to like be somewhere as close to this as possible. So I tried Miami out and I'm like, yo, this is a vibe. And then after that, you know, just off the, I was more in like the, around County Line, I think they call it, right? Yeah. So I was in like Hollandale, like area. So it's very north, right?
Uh-huh.
On the edge of Broward and Dade. So like, I was more in the suburbs, and then I got hired by a PR agency randomly to do art. And it was in Brickell, so it was in the heart of that shit, you know what I mean? And that was such a different thing because I was pushed right into the top of the scene. We're in the executive suite in the SunTrust building. And I just soaked it in. I don't even know how I got that thing, bro. Like, I definitely wasn't... They were just looking for an artist who could reach a certain demographic.
Yeah.
And through that, I learned marketing because instead of just doing it at home, I was allowed to just go in maybe once a month, right, and work from home the rest of the time. But I went in every day because I would watch them do their marketing meetings. It was interesting, bro. So I soaked a lot of that in. And so after that, you know, because now I'm downtown in Brickell, I'm on the high end side of it. Then eventually I started seeing the in-between, like the Wynwoods and then really the Little Hades. And then I ended up getting a little storefront at the gallery in Little Haiti and moving. And I lived right behind it. And so I was there, and that's how I got more into the murals. I first started painting murals in New York. Well, I think maybe my first one was on 8th Street or something. Like, no, my first one was in VA.
Okay.
In Roanoke.
In Roanoke?
Yeah. At my boy's family had a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
They needed a mural. And I'm like, I don't do murals. I was doing comics at the time. And he's like, they're going to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Rather pay you, bro. And I'm like, I guess I'll try it. And ever since I did it, a mural is just such a big advertisement for your work.
It is.
That if you do a good job, you're going to just get work even if you don't want it.
Yep.
So now at this point, when I'm doing a mural, I never leave a mural without getting another job. People walk up to me. And you know what I mean? Last time it's National Geographic comes. And then like some documentary crews film me. I don't even, there's no planning of this. They just come, you know what I mean? But that's how murals work. I think that Roanoke one, somebody from American Idol was from Roanoke who was on the season.
Oh, wow.
He hit me up about it to try to do something for his video. So, like, it never happened, but these things, now make you confident. Now it's like, maybe I should do murals.
Yeah.
So, and so from, you know, I did that. I did one here on H Street Copycat. I got brought back here. And then I, when I went to Miami, you know, the Wynwood and Art Basel, I'm just like, okay, now I'm gonna turn it up on the murals. This is where, like, this is where that I can focus on it. So, and that's where, that's how we got here, you know, with the big scale art. I think a lot, the murals is like a lot, it's not my main thing, but I think people probably think it is.
Yeah. You know? Because that's what they've seen the most of you.
Exactly, right? It's the biggest, most obvious, you know, thing. And like, it's cool because if you meet people and they're like, oh, like, we just went to a spot and they knew about the work. And like, I can just literally tell them, we'll go to this street and this street, this corner, that corner, and they can go today and like really just take a trip.
So how many murals do you think you have in the, in just in the DC area?
In DC right now, it's two up there. One on 14th. The joint on, two on the ground now on Florida and U. I had the one at Museum. Some stuff gets covered, you know what I mean? I had the one at Museum. Is that it right now, bro? I feel like it's something else. Oh, Lil Minor. Those are on the edge of the city, right?
Yeah.
Brentwood. Brentwood, and then we just did one in Rockville. But the truck, I also did a truck, and it's moving around the city. Yeah, so.
You have moving art.
I probably got like 10 in the city right now. Yeah. I think in total of all the murals I have or have done, I've probably done over 30 in general. Like, you know what I mean?
So we got DC, we have Virginia.
New York.
I
only have one in Virginia, but like, you know, two because they hired me for another one on the other side. But New York, I had a lot. They're all still up. That was my capital of my murals for a while, but DC, I think, is more. I have one in Manhattan and West Village. I have one. Yeah, by the Nike basketball court, where they used to do it, right over there. But I'm by the IFC Theater, West 4th. It's like a Marge Simpson joint. I did that early. I had another one before that same spot, so you can count that as two. I got one. Rest in peace to the kid that passed away a couple years ago, Junior, Dominican kid. I did the original one, and I got one in Brooklyn, Flatbush on Coffee Mob. So Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan. I think that's it. I think. No, I got one. I got another one in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's in the storefront though. It's fire.
So DC and New York, that's your spots.
And I got two or one in Miami left, but that's the biggest one I got, 60 foot.
How long did that take?
5 days, bro.
You did 60 feet in 5 days.
Yeah.
That's actually fast.
Some of these small ones, yeah, I know. Some of these small ones take me longer. Yeah, I don't know how I did. So at a point, I was knocking them out real fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like now I like to take my time.
Because your steps, they know what they're getting when they have a Chris Pyrite.
Yeah, I guess that's more of it. Like, I can take my time.
I say pyrite? Pyrate.
Pirate.
Pyrate. Pyrite. It's not fool's gold inside here.
Yeah.
Not
just,
at all.
Just pirate.
all right.
People say it however they want. I got two in North Carolina and Raleigh. And one of those is like one of my second or third favorite ones. In Raleigh, at this place called Emerge. It's a fire, like, artist establishment.
How close is that to the college?
I don't know. It's in downtown. Right in the heart of downtown. So, like, I know, like, they were doing big music festivals and shows, wherever there's music shows, and it's walking distance from that. Whatever that stadium or some outdoor type of drink.
Yeah.
It's in the heart of the city.
So you just know, like, you're known. You're known.
Hey, we getting there. It's definitely a lot of links. You know what I mean? It's definitely nowadays we were just talking to a dude who was at my other gallery show, but he's like, yo, you know this guy? And I'm like, sound familiar? And like he said, I was at his house drinking with him. And I leaned back and you had hit an art piece of yours on the wall. And I'm like, so collectors are meeting people who come to my shows and they friends who both are into my work are connected and didn't know it. You know what I mean? So it's starting to link up like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And right after this question, we'll go ahead and take a little break.
Yeah.
But what form? So, because your art style is really, it's not pop art.
Okay.
Is not pop art.
I'm loving to hear. Let's go. I care more about what people think than my own expression.
I can obviously see the comic book and the illustration just merging together.
Yeah. Most people don't know though.
Yeah, and it's, and I can see the iconography that you use. And the flowers, of course, the flowers. You use a lot of pastel colors, like a lot of bright. It's always feels not warm, but very fun.
Okay.
It's always fun.
I like that.
What formed that though?
Well, it started with the cherry blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Because DC, and I was missing home. So it started with actually started here on H Street at this place called Copycat.
Okay.
Further down here. And so I did this mural and it had the same colors, the pink, the purple, and the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just shapes layering behind each other. And it kind of made a like portal around the door. And I put in the pink, I made some cherry blossoms within it. And that was it. But I felt this energy. I felt the energy of the piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
These colors. But I didn't know that I wanted to express those shapes as full patterns yet. I just did a cherry blossom here, and then like, you know, I guess because that was my first time coming home to do a mural,
uh-huh.
Right? And so I just did a cherry blossom, but then there was these layers of pink vortex and purple and blue vortex behind it. And then I came back and turned that whole mural into full flower pattern, right?
Nice.
Well, that's after I started traveling, right? And then developed the full thing, because I think the cherry blossom is definitely from DC, right?
Yes.
But the rest of them, I think they really came from Miami. It's more about, I did a cherry blossom here first, and then it's almost like a merge with that, inspired by the Art Deco type of feel, right? Like the Miami Vice, because my opinion, reason why those Miami pastel, almost like burnt out colors,
yeah.
Right? But they look like they would be neon, but they're soft, right? It's desaturated. I think that comes from the sun is so, it beats the buildings, right?
All day,
So those signages, when you're in like a little Haiti and stuff, they're always faded. So if you had a pink, it's gonna be more subtle, but
muted,
vibrant.
Yeah,
it's muted, but it's still, so that's what I go for. I go for like, it has a neon feel, but it's not neon, it's actually soft.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the neon feel comes from the juxtapositions with the blue and things like that, but like, it's actually soft. But if you look at like, what's a good one like in Miami with like the pink and green? What's a good logo? Like I've seen like a flamingo pink and green, something like that. Like a Miami Subs, right? Now they use a neon sign, but you look at most of the joints on the outside, is that the sun has beat it up and it's very light, and that has become, I think that became the aesthetic. So I had the cherry blossom. I did that, those lone three cherry blossoms over here. And then I think I was in New York, but I was moving to Miami in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
This is my last thing I did. And then I went to Miami. That's just when the other two flowers came, dog. Like, I was going through some personal stuff. I had lost a couple people, you know what I mean? And I went through a crazy artist block. I was working with Lupe Fiasco on a book, right?
Okay.
And because that was such a high profile thing, and I was very, like, excited about it, I lost a couple people during it, and my disconnect with DC being so far from home, I didn't able to lose them peacefully. I wasn't able to make peace, right? So it kind of hit me hard, and I didn't notice because I was overworking, or you know what I mean? And so because I'm working with Lupe, I had to work through it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure it out. So to be honest with bro, what I did, I was having like nightmares that these people were still there. You call it a dream because it's a pleasant thing, right? But when you wake up and nobody's there and you know they're gone, it's like, that's the part that felt like a nightmare. So
yeah.
I Googled it, like, why do my dreams feel so real? Because it felt more real when I was asleep because it was back to normal. And when I woke up, I had a 3-bedroom house at the time and it was empty because of that, right? Like, it was, so it was weird. And I'm in Miami, a new place. Well, I'm in Hollandale, a new place, 3-bedroom house. By myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no car, bro. So, like, I'm traveling by Uber at this point, so it was weird. Wow. So like, I'm waking up from these very vivid like dreams that's so more regular than real life. So I Googled it, and they were saying like, if you take a fast, right, fast for like 3 days, it restarts your system, and you like a chemical imbalance that's happening, that's causing those real dreams. And they said if you do it, your dreams are gonna get even more real while you're fast. So it's gonna be hard, but once you get through it, I guess you're like, you know, your chemicals reset, your brain resets, and like, and I did that, and the first thing I drew, bro, was the first piece with this red ape, the dragon, but it's a different one.
Yeah.
Right, when he's riding it, it's a different vibe, but, and it's called Dream Bigger. This one's called Nightmare Harder, so it's like a flip. But that's the first drink that had all the flowers. It had this red ape, it had the dragon, it had the koi fish, it had everything I'm using right now came from one painting. And I just did it. I did it as a big drawing first, just an ink thing. And then like, there's certain collectors, or actually artists in Miami. The guy who owned the storefront I ended up getting, he's an actual artist, and he shows in Germany and all this, right? Mm-hmm. So he's a Korean artist, and like, when he saw that piece, he told me it's $1 million piece. It was just a drawing. Right? Yeah. And this is a dude who, you know, he sold $50,000 pieces and stuff like that. And I'm just still just like a dude from, you know where I'm from. So like, you know what I mean? So he sold me this $1 million piece. It's just on a sheet of paper. He's like, yo, you have to recreate that bigger. So that piece is actually going up. It's at Adams Morgan, a new restaurant, my boy's restaurant that's opening. Shabu Plus is what it's called. But it's actually in there. That's the original. And this is the most recent iteration, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, everything came from this one piece, bro. And the cherry blossom started here, but it expanded in Miami into the full pattern. And that's how I got on my artist block. But the Lupe book never came out. So
Lupe, if you're listening to this, you probably are. But you know, once you listen to this, you listen to this part, release the book.
Yeah, it's good, Lupe. I'm still here. I'm still ready. I seen him like last year. He had something. So I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, that sounds like a good. This sounds like a good pausing point. We'll be right back, everybody. Chris, we're going to be getting some real stuff next.
My name is Vila. Yeah.
My name is Rune. Yeah. Yeah.
My name is
Ricky. Yeah. Three. Two. My name is Vila.
My name is Rune.
And I'm Ricky. This is the Full Timers Podcast.
It's a bi-weekly show where we have candid conversations that awkwardly navigates through the nuances of adulthood.
We talk about random, mundane things we go through as adults.
Truth be told, we're all still trying to figure out this adulting thing.
But we don't just talk about adulting things. We talk about
movies, music, TVs, anything that we find entertaining. So check us out.
New episodes every other Wednesday.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. That's a lot of podcasts.
Year.
It's a bi-weekly show where we have candid conversations that awkwardly navigates through the nuances of adulthood.
Oh.
All right. So Chris, we were talking about, you know, we talked about the past, where you came from, how you got to be who you are. Now it's dip into the present. Like I said, this show is really about giving people inspiration and breaking that shell and, you know, getting to that place where they can just express themselves, or they can start their business or start whatever they've been dreaming to do. You've already done that. Now the onset of COVID hits. How has that been? Like, what have you been doing to keep the creative juices flowing and also to keep your name in everyone's like eyes and ears?
Well, personally, like, I try not to, like, do that last part, like, keeping a name, like, I try to make that be a byproduct of what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not, like, the goal. So, like, I actually wasn't trying to be out and do public work right now, you know what I mean? I was trying to actually just focus on stuff that maybe I want to do for myself that I haven't done. Like, you know, I think I had just finished painting this show in February.
Okay.
Cause like I probably finished it while the day before installation, right? And I had done this, but a lot of this work was pre-existing work that I showed in New York, but it wasn't finished, right? So I wanted to take it to another level, and it had never shown in DC, but that big one and some of the stuff wasn't done at all. I just a thought. So I did those, and then we opened it on my birthday, March 7th. It's because I've always done a show on my birthday in DC. Like, not always, but anytime I'm in DC on my birthday, I try to do a show. So like, it's my birthday present to myself. So I did that. But the timing, I at first I thought it was bad timing because right after is when COVID hit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now this gallery is still here. What, August? You know what I mean? So like, yeah. It was supposed to be a 30-day show. You know what I mean? It stretched out and people don't really get to see it unless I can take you in or you make an appointment. Mm-hmm. Right? So that kind of bummed me out at first. But then looking back on it, I'm like, well, if it didn't happen then, it probably would have never happened.
Yeah,
because of COVID, I didn't. You know, now you look at how long it's affecting it. You know what I mean? So, like at first, it kind of bummed me out because a lot of people didn't get to see the show the right way, right? The first 2 days were packed, right? Mm-hmm. So that was cool. A lot of people did get to see it, but you know what happens with that is people see that people got to see it, and then they figure it out. You know, people who are busy have day jobs. You know what I mean? Can't really do that stuff. So it didn't get to make it to the everyday person. I feel like. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was more like socialite type of thing that they did, you know, which is cool. But that bummed me out. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, this show was kind of a long time in the making. Why don't I create something new, you know, in this time, right? That was the idea. I ended up working on something with Uniqlo that was supposed to release this year. And I think that collaboration is now pushed back too.
Okay.
But what happened was I created such a good relationship with the agency in New York, Tokyo, that like this whole COVID, we were just talking, you know what I mean? And it's about life, about Japan, because they're Japanese based, about things like that. The Cherry Blossom, because they came and did Cherry Blossom stuff at Kennedy Center.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a lot of back and forth, you know what I mean? And then off the record, right? Back on the record, like, so that Uniqlo situation got to evolve just through talking and getting to know people, finding out. Oh, that's off the record, my bad.
Yeah.
Well, finding out that one of the people working on the Uniqlo side, because I'm working with the agency. Mm-hmm. And then I find out, I knew the twin sister of the girl who's actually working on the Uniqlo side.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and this is based in another city that this project's coming out in. So that was pretty crazy, but I knew her from art school here. So, yeah, you know, that relationship got to develop because we're all just talking, you know what I mean? We don't really have much, and we have so much time for this one project that really would have happened a lot quicker. You know what I mean? It would have been this many t-shirts and out, you know, but it developed into something that is going to be a lot bigger when it happens. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of content, you know, because then I worked on that and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to get back to like making something new, right? And I never got to it because, you know, the BLM thing happened.
Yep.
All that stuff happened. And I actually have like a storefront that I turned into a studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a secret location, right? But nobody knows what's happening there. But I've been painting in it for almost a year now, probably. And like, you know, when people are raiding the stores and stuff, and where it's located is a prime spot for it. So like, it's actually happened in that area before, historically. So like, I'm painting in there during this time, bro. You know, so I'm like, this is weird. And it's COVID, so I'm like, painting in there, I'm like thugging it out, crashing, just painting all night, like, you know, and you know, this is when it was travel ban type of thing. Like people weren't even moving. So I got trapped in the studio and I was like, okay, it's going to be, you know, it's a big place.
Yeah.
It used to be a double decker store. Like it's crazy. So I'm like, I'm going to turn this into something. Right. So I was taking a lot of inspiration, right? Like, I watched things on a projector, so we got that big space, started blowing it up crazy, watching on the ceiling, do anything like that, and just taking in inspiration, making it fun, and then getting shell-shocked because people might break in this place because it's a glass storefront, and they don't know what the heck's back there, and it used to be a popping space, right? Mm-hmm. So that was all hit me, and then the mayor had put that Black Lives Matter
mural
on the street, and so a lot of people started hitting me up thinking I had something to do with that because I curated the mayor's art project last year. Mm-hmm. That was like an installation / mural, 8-piece mural. I brought in 7 other artists and we did this thing. And so that kind of, to a lot of people, that probably like was the first thing they saw from her like that. So they just assume I had something to do. So people like, congratulations, thanks for doing that. And I'm like, I didn't know what they meant at first. And then I'm like, oh, people think I... And I was like, I guess that makes sense. And I did. Some of the people that I brought in that project, they actually did do that. Right? So I'm like, it makes sense, right? Shout outs to Kiana. But like, it makes sense. And I just looked at it and like, I'm like, all right, so if I get a chance to, I need to... People expect me to be a part of this. People expect me to do something about it. So, and I'm like, all right, if I get the opportunity, I'm not going to waste it. And then I just started getting flooded with the opportunity. I think Ann Pizza contacted me first, and then Barcelona, and then right now I'm working on a Shea. I don't think I did anything else for it because a lot of things I couldn't get around to. Like I was hoping to work with my boy over here, Radical Empathy, mm-hmm. But we'll do it in the future. But like, it just like I hit it with so many. Some never even happened that I, you know, it was just too many. But I just literally on a call with my boy from Barcelona, and he hit me up for it. Like, I didn't know him at the time, and I'm kind of, like, turning it down. And in the same conversation, I probably sound crazy, because, like, I'm then talking myself into it. I'm then telling him, like, well, I did tell myself if I got this opportunity, I'm going to do it. And then on the same call, I talked myself into doing it, and then I did it. And I just took them all on, and I'm still finishing one right now, you know? And then one just got vandalized. They scratched out the anti-racism part, so I got to go fix that.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Why so, was someone...
I ask this, what type of person would scratch out anti-racism? I think that answers itself, right? So like
basically, yeah.
And they asked me, like, you want to see the cameras? I'm like, nah. Why? Like, what, I'm gonna go fight this person? Like, you know where we from, bro? So it's like, I don't need that drama in my life, bro. Cause then like if it's some dude with a hoodie and I can't see his full body, now I'm looking at everybody who walks past like that. You know what I mean? Yep. I just don't need all that. Like, so Yeah, that's what happened. That's how I ended up doing all these murals for the BLM. And I gotta say this, like, Black Lives Matter as a phrase, right? I don't know too much about the organization, but that's why you see my joints, it'll say something else. You know what I mean? Our Black Lives Matter, something in that context, right? I don't, you know, once something in the organization, I gotta do my homework and I haven't had a chance to, but
I'm glad that you guys just said
we're
that.
Black and our lives do matter. So like in that, I'm doing it that way.
I'm very glad you said it because not a lot of people do that. They'll just do it with the most minimum education on something and then sprout off anything.
Yeah. Actually, the one mural that gets close to saying it, it didn't even say that at first. I want to say it. It said our lives matter, but they were all black hands holding the signs. And that, you know, they were worried that it was because it's majority white owned establishment, they were worried that people would like think that they were trying to say all lives matter. So I ended up putting our black lives matter. But you know, like I just don't, you know, I don't want it to be used for something that I don't know if I represent yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I do represent being black and that I should have a chance to be alive on this earth. So, you know.
Awesome. Well, we're going to round down here and any kind of advice that you have for any kind of artist or anyone actually that is trying to break into a space, a scene, what would you give to them? Like, what jewel do you have for them?
Be original. Like, figure out yourself as a person and while you work on your craft and then you combine them instead of like, I think a lot of people try to rush into something because art now seems like a career. Right. So I think like anything else, like, okay, like you may not be a chef yet or something like that. You may know how to do something. You may have worked under a chef, but like you may apply for that job and just like try to like learn on the spot and it may work. because there's, you can YouTube how to do these certain, there's formulas, right? For art, there's not really a formula, right? The formula is a style. There's no formula to style. Style comes from things we were talking about, where you grew up, like these type of things, like how I told you, like the flowers, it started with the cherry blossom because it was my first DC mural, and then it expanded. And then I'll show you this, like when it was just the cherry blossom and then purple and blue shape vortex around it, those, I couldn't express myself right. And then eventually I'm like, those shapes, those whole shapes were flowers, which is thousands of them. And so when I, by the time I had done it in other work, I knew what I was trying to do there. So that's when I came back and filled that piece out when I had adapted the blue and purple flowers. First, it was just splashes, right? And so that's style comes from experiences in your life and your perspective. Like you only, you, style should be unique, like a fingerprint. Like only you, it's your language. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So art might be the conversation, but in order to have a conversation, you have to have a language too to get it out. So I think the language is your style. And you know, that's unique, right? You know what I mean? It has to be from where you're from, like a language, right? So like, and what you've been through and all that. So I think it's important for people to just be calm with it, you know? Like, it looks cool now, but it's not like these other jobs. There's no set path. It's more about taste. I think people don't say this enough. Being a professional artist is more about taste.
Yes.
Right? Because there's a difference between an artist and a professional artist. I think a lot of people are trying to be professional artists, but they're not artists yet. You get what I'm saying? So like they're trying to make money and do a job rather than figuring, because an artist, you have to know who you are. You got to know what you want to express. You got to know, you got to have things you want to say. You know, but some people just want to get to the money, and maybe they have the skill. Maybe it's a trade. They can paint. You know what I mean? They can do these things, but to be what they, the people that they're looking at, they probably need to figure themselves out. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people just try to jump into making money on it. And that's what happens when people start copying what they see and things like that. Like you have, if you can copy, that means you're skilled. Mm-hmm. Right now. Now take that and go work in an illustration like I did or something where it's plug and play and you get paid to do a job within art, right? Mm-hmm. But when now you might get fired, hired, blackballed and all. I get all those things in those fields, right? Like I can't work in comics because of certain things. I got blackballed, right? So like these type of things is now what allowed me to have a style in art. I was working as an artist, but it's different. You know what I mean? So I say, take your time, go get a job in art if you really want to make money. But save the like the artist that's also a business just because he's connecting or he or she's connecting to people. Mm-hmm. Save that for people who it's a natural thing because it's about taste. So like, it's not about if you're good or bad. It's people who draw stick figures and there's somebody, it's like millions of people who love their work because it's connecting to someone. You know what I mean? So that fits a certain people's taste, right? So the difference of making money off art on this level of just like personal artists expressing themselves is, are you hitting the people that have taste in what you have taste in, right? Because I meet a lot of people that like my work and we probably have similarities. We probably like a lot of the same things. I'm probably inspired by some of the things that they grew up liking and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, so I say that's one of the main things is take your time, slow down. Don't just try to rush it. Get more in the craft of it. Get a plug and play art job if you really want to make money. That does exist, you know, graphic design, all types of things, right? And you'll know when you have it. You know when you have something to say and you might not even know that you're going to make money off it. You know what I mean? But you'll have something to say and then people will gravitate toward it. If it's in the right place at the right time and around the right people. If it's not, again, keep your job and do that. Still work on art because it'll make you better and it'll get you ready. Comics got me ready to, I can draw anything on the planet. You know what I mean? So now anything I want to see in my head, of course I could draw that. I had to draw people talking in Harlem with the cityscape and a bus driving past and every different scene, the bus is going further. Like I had to do all that cinematic stuff. So now when I'm like, yo, I see a dragon sitting on his dragon. I mean, a red ape sitting on his dragon. The dragon throwing up flowers. As he, you know what I mean? But who's to say people have to like that? They don't have to. You know what I mean? I just had, I had to express it at some point in time. I met the dude who told me that's $1 million piece. Now when it goes in Adams Morgan, it's going to be listed for $1 million. You know what I mean? So like these, and now, you know, right now people are paying thousands. Maybe at some point somebody pays that million. I don't really care because I don't want to sell it. You feel me? So like these things happen naturally. I express that out of fasting and trying to reset my system because I lost people in my life. And it ends up now being the template for all my work that's connecting to people and like giving them life in certain ways, the inspiration. So it's a natural thing. Like I said, it's not one of these jobs. You can just YouTube how to do it. But you can YouTube how to illustrate, how to graphic design it. So just find something that keeps you around art and keeps you paid. And when you express yourself to the right people who probably are going through what you're going through at the time, who need to see that, it'll connect them.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find your stuff at.
Instagram the best. The website don't really update as much, but Chris Pirate, P-Y-R-A-T-E. And I think that's it. Just keep it simple. And the website, chrispirate.com. And it's like apparel. I have an apparel brand, Chris Pirate and Friends. But Instagram.
All right. And
You know what? I got to start a YouTube. I'm crazy for not doing that. I forgot who told me that the other day. Like, your YouTube should have like 50,000 subscribers. Watch you do these murals. I'm like, I never thought about doing a YouTube. So yeah, we're gonna do a YouTube.
You hear that? YouTube. Yeah.
Chris Pirate at YouTube. I'm sure nobody has it.
And the last thing, last thing. I hear you like NASCAR.
What is it? Oh, NASCAR. Yeah, definitely.
All right, who's your favorite driver?
It was Jeff Gordon. But I like Hendrix Motorsports, period. Team. So like it was Jeff Gordon. I got into it maybe right before Dale Earnhardt died. And, you know, he was on the same team as Jeff Gordon. And Jeff Gordon was like the Kobe to Michael Jordan, you know. My era. Just like I'm more of a Kobe guy than Michael Jordan, right? So like Jeff Gordon, but you know, he doesn't race anymore. I hope he comes back. I feel it like he probably will, but that's an old man sport. You can race. All you need is your leg. You know what I mean?
True.
And his merch is going crazy. I know you gotta see this. You feel me? Like, but now what happened with that real quick, my uncle owned a car dealership when I was growing up. Well, he got passed down. It's funny, because my uncle passes as white. My mom, my family, that side of my family is mixed white, right? So yeah. My uncle passes as white. He got inherited basically a white company's car dealership. And the joke in the family is that he had to hide his pictures. Yeah, but when I would go in these, I never was around NASCAR, but it was up the street. It's on like Akakeek or something. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get a job there, right? Like washing cars or something. And I would just go all the time. And they had that little, you know, they have a auto parts shop.
Yeah.
And then it's like a little merch store. Like when you go in the office to buy it, they had all these NASCAR like jackets. Cause it's like, you know, car stuff, right? And these like NASCAR, like actual cars, right? So every time I go in there, I'm like eyeballing stuff and I'm telling them and telling my mom what I want. Like, and eventually I would get some of the stuff for my birthday or something. Jeff Gordon jacket, Jeff Gordon cars. Those cars were, his cars were lit. It was very 90s, right? So now we say it's 90s, but it was for a kid to grow up. It's like Kobe to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It made more sense as a kid when you're watching Kobe at that time. He's hit more relevant to you. Now we look at it, we're like, oh, it just captured the 90s. But it was like that. Just Jeff Gordon, it just wasn't, it was of that era. A lot of those other cars were just like Bud. I was a kid, I don't know what Budweiser is and stuff. I didn't know what DuPont was, but those colors were popping. You know what I mean? And so then when I would, those same days, we just had Sundays with the family. So I would go to my uncle's and right down, you know, straight down heading to DC is Forest Heights at my grandfather's house. We had dinner. And I was always a black sheep, so I was always got to just stay in my grandfather's room and watch whatever I want while they all had dinner. So I'm watching NASCAR, dog. Like, and them races is like 2 hours, bro. And it's like a very slow, because you don't just speed up and get past somebody. It's a gradual thing, because they're all doing 200 miles per hour at a time. So one pass may take about 7 laps to gradually get past somebody. So like, I got into it, dog. But that's why I told you, I like packaging more than anything. It gets me into stuff like that. So yeah, I got into J- Jeff Gordon, and he owns Jimmy Johnson's car, who's the dude who was beating him the last couple of years, and he retired, but he owned the car. So I'm kind of like a Jimmy Johnson fan because he owns it. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's my favorite.
Man, all right.
We gonna recreate a NASCAR like type of thing in honor of like my boy Jeff Gordon.
We're gonna be there for that, yeah. Bobby. We're gonna be there for that. All right, man. Well, thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank
yes, sir. You.
And we're out. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to today's show. If you like what you heard, let us know by leaving a 5-star review. Each review helps us make the show a little bit better than the last. Ty Ann was produced and edited by myself and Bobby Wiggins for the Nerd Black Network, where you can find shows like this as well as many others. This show was recorded with social distancing parameters in place. You can follow the show and myself on social media platforms at @ty_with_2_ in the front and the back. Thank you again for listening, and catch new episodes every other Wednesday only on the Nerd Black Network. Thanks again. Gone.